The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. We have jumps racing from Bangor and two flat meetings, one from Leicester and one from Redcastle. Three meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hi, Mark.
How are you, well, sir?
Good. Bit hot.
Yes. It's a little bit warm in here, isn't it?
We go from the sublime to the ridiculous in here, don't we? We're the freezing cold. In the middle of winter when we have the aircon on and then when we need it, it's absolutely red hot.
Yeah, but it's bizarre to see the sunshine out and being this
gorgeous.
Warm.
Yeah, but this is calm before the storm though, isn't it, Mark?
It is, yes. Unfortunately, the weather is threatening to take a hold over the next few days. And
it's Armageddon, isn't it, tomorrow?
There's already inspections scheduled for Bangor and Leicester, so keep an eye on those. We are going to look at the racing at Leicester. Andy's got a few that he fancies there, so we'll talk about those. But like I said, just keep an eye on those inspections. Hopefully we'll get racing and we'll have something to look forward to on Monday. But before we get to Monday stuff, Andy, let's have a little bit of a reflection on what was a great Saturday.
Yeah, it was. Very good.
Yeah. You were in the studio. You'll have seen it all as it happened, Andy. And how impressed were you with Kingston Hill when you saw him win the Racing Post Trophy?
Yeah, very, yeah. He settles really well. That's a good thing about him. He's not a headstrong horse, so you're always going to have him saving his energy for the back end of the race, and that's exactly what he did at Newmarket when he won the Challenge Stakes, and then equally impressive when he won the Racing Post. Loves soft ground. I think he might be ground dependent.
Right.
He's by Master Craftsman, of course, who himself as a horse would have wanted a bit of cut in the ground, and a lot of his offspring this season have wanted giving the ground. That horse that won yesterday, Craftsman, another son of his, he relishes heavy ground. He's done quite well, actually, isn't he, first season? So I think Amazing Maria, Ed Dunlop's filly is his as well. So
yeah.
And the Great Gatsby, of course.
Mm.
So he's had a good first season at Master Craftsman, but this one is by far and away his best. You'd imagine, you know, being out of a Rainbow Crest mare as well, that a mile and a quarter, a mile and a half is going to be ideal for next year. So you wouldn't have thought guineas, but obviously you're looking at all the middle distance trials, perhaps, you know, a Dante to see where they stand with him.
Yeah.
And then All roads would probably lead to Epsom, touch wood. But, you know, his three runs have been soft, good to soft, soft, heavy in places.
Yeah, that's the concern, isn't
it? You know, it's all right looking at him thinking he's a nice prospect from an anti-post derby point of view. When was the last time we had a soft ground derby?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's the problem, isn't it? He's been given a quote of 5-1 for the derby.
I mean, that's a ridiculous quote. And well, it is. It's just...
At this stage?
You'd only... Like, you don't know what's going to happen between now and then.
No.
But... He's only a consideration if the ground's soft at this stage. You'd think if you could predict way in advance that the ground was going to be soft, 5-1 would look fair. But, you know, 8 months away or whatever it is, that's just absolute utter madness.
10-1 for the guineas as well, but like I said, probably he won't further than that, will he? So. But he's definitely set himself up for a classic campaign, though, hasn't he?
He has.
Which is nice.
I think bookmakers are right to go conservative-ish. But when you have, at the moment, a horse like that, who looks as though he's ground dependent, you want to take a bit of a chance with him, don't you?
Hmm.
He's a horse that you think, well, I'll puff my chest out and want to lay him rather than go too short.
Okay, many months anyway until we get to that. So we'll see more about that later on. But the jump season is much closer than that, and we've already seen a couple of nice performances. The older on Chaser Aintree. Went the way of Conquista, who's not the biggest, but he's got a tremendous bit of heart about him, hasn't he? Battles away.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, Royal Shakespeare did Steve Gollings proud many years ago, and he was all about heart and commitment to the cause, because he wasn't probably the best, but I think he won the old Channel 4 trophy the one year when they obviously give that prize for horses that won a lot, the most races. I think he won 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And a lot of those were races that he shouldn't have won, and it looks very much like Conquista is going the same way. He rounded off last season with a couple of wins at Ayr and Haydock in handicap company, but he stepped up markedly off a mark of 150 yesterday and won the old round trace, which was probably lacking in strength and depth from previous years. Obviously Monet's Garden set the tone for many years and for non-stop won it last year, proper graded horses. So this was a glorified handicap in many respects, and the fact that Astrakad, who's a decent animal in his own right, was able to take the field along at Merry Dance and have pretty much things his own way and finish second off a mark of 141 tells you that this year's winner was a little bit below par, but that shouldn't take anything away from Conquisto, and I think he'll be in for a reasonably good season, providing he's well placed. But I don't think he'll be too industrious. He's a kind of horse that probably will need now to be just pigeonholed into certain races, because obviously his handicap days are now gone.
Yeah, and Tony McCoy, who was on board him, had a good day as well. 76-1 treble for the champ. He also won on
Shut the Front Door.
And yep. I'm just trying to think of the name of the other one.
Josie's Orders,
wasn't it? Yeah. That's a treble. He's now 13 away from 4,000.
It'd be lovely if he did it on a big day as well. I mean, it's difficult to pace yourself and say, right, I'm going to peak and do it. But it'd be lovely to do it on the Paddy Power meeting, wouldn't it, Cheltenham?
Yeah.
You know, the home of National Racing, where he's had such great success and some of his better and bigger days have come. And, you know, 13 winners between now and then. If you get, you know, perhaps one or two abandonments along the way with the rain we're having at the moment. Was it a couple of weeks next Thursday? So
16th of the way, November, isn't it?
Yeah, the way he's going, he's riding one or two a day, so he might get it before then, but it would be lovely if he could just time it perfectly for Cheltenham.
Yeah, it'd be poetic, wouldn't it, if he did it there, something like
that. Well, he deserves a big day to do it on, the fact there'll be a massive crowd there, you know, 20,000, 30,000. Imagine if he did it on Paddy Power Day,
yeah,
in one of those big races. You know, you wouldn't be able to get enough people into the parade ring to cheer him in. It wouldn't really matter to McCoy if he did it on a wet and windy Monday at Plumpton, because that's where he's...
That's how he is, isn't that, he? He'll ride anywhere.
And... Well, that's why he's made his trade over the years. Yeah. He treats Plumpton and Taunton on a Monday as he does Cheltenham on a Saturday. So it wouldn't really bother him. But I think for everyone really to kind of, you know, almost go to church and praise him the way he should, and go at the McCoy altar, as it were, then... It would be lovely to happen at the biggest place of all.
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? Rather than just a cold, wet and windy Tuesday at a Fontwell or something like that.
It'd just take a little bit of edge off it, but yeah, I mean, when he rode his 3,000th, it was at Plumpton, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes it was, yeah.
Yeah.
That was only 4 years ago or something.
It seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
Good. So we'll keep an eye on that in the coming weeks. And there were good racing at Chepstow as well, wasn't there? And the feature race there was the Persian War Novices Hurdle, and that went to Emma Lavelle's Times Remembered. And Emma Lavelle's hit the floor running, hasn't she?
Yeah, she had a terrible season last year for one thing or another. Obviously the yard was sick, and they've all come back hitting healthy this year, very well handicapped as well, some of the handicappers, and her better class horses are carrying all before them. We shouldn't not forget Shotgun Paddy as well, and beat the very well regarded just a par quite comfortably as well in that Rising Stars Novices Chase. And then the big one itself, the Grade 2 Persian War, went the way of Times Remembered. And anyone that you talked to the time before in the maiden hurdle, jumping terribly. And he jumped a bit scruffily yesterday as well. I mean, the last two or three hurdles, he was very hit and miss. His technique isn't great, but he's got a great engine. And, you know, he beat a good class field. And, yeah, he looks another one for that owner who unfortunately lost Killy Glenn. Is it Tom Sider and Sarah Prior, is it? I think those are the two I mentioned yesterday. They lost Killy Glenn, didn't they, at Stratford?
Yeah.
That would have been probably their stable star, but you know, they've got this horse, and there was another horse that won in their colours the other day, so things are looking a little bit better. That horse has obviously perked them up and looks to have a bright future.
Anything else catch your eye on Saturday, Andy?
I thought Suda Grugy was really good.
Yeah.
Under a big weight. I think he raced off a mark of 160 to win that handicap chase, which is no mean
161,
effort.
161, yeah.
And I was really impressed with Shut the Front Doors jumping at Aintree, apart from one down the back straight where McCoy was obviously building up a catalogue of confident jumps, and he thought, right, I'll really ask him at the ditch, and he just put down, and from that point onwards McCoy was brilliant as well. I mean, McCoy gets a lot of praise for a lot of strong finishes, and you know, he's well renowned for getting horses home that don't look like winning, but he's also good at finessing one home when, you know, he doesn't want to give him a hard race first time out. And Shut the Front Door, that was just perfect. He had a lovely introduction. He would have learnt plenty. He jumped well. And you know, he won by half a length, but it could have been a lot further. And I thought that was a superb ride.
Yeah. And Sally Grugy, while you're on the subject of that one as well, might be meeting Sprinter Sakura in the Tingle Creek, apparently. So that'll be a task, won't it?
He's probably one of the only few you could see at the moment who's coming through from the ranks. He's got a good cruising speed. He jumps well. He goes on any ground, and you know, he's edging up towards the 170s. Mm. I don't think he'll ever beat Sprinter Sacra, but there's a lot of prize money around for finishing second and third in these races. And because you're always going to get small fields in Sprinter Sacra's races, then, you know, he's going to be picking up 15, 20 grand for finishing second, because he's by far and away the second best at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Good. Plenty to look forward to then. Good stuff this
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, it is. Both fantastic, birds, yeah.
Yeah, can't wait for some more stuff. I mean, Cheltenham's only a couple of weeks away.
I know,
away,
Cheltenham 2 weeks away, and we're really into the teeth of it then.
Yeah, good. Shaping up nicely in the jumps front.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about jumping, though, for Monday. we're going to look at three races at Leicester, the three that you picked out, Andy.
And yep.
The first of which is the 3 o'clock, which is a maiden stakes over the extent... Well, it's nearly 6 furlongs, isn't it, for this maiden. Has something caught your eye so far then that hasn't won yet?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Mark, I'm picking three horses out tomorrow that anyone could pick. I haven't seen the tissue prices, but they're going to be short priced. But they're more horses for the future. I'm just trying to highlight these horses that have run out of good races, and maybe for next year, you know, even if you can't bet them at decent odds tomorrow, they're going to be all prohibitive, I'd imagine. The first horse in question is Penny Drops in the 3 o'clock, the maiden. Filly by Invincible Spirit, who ran well on debut. It'd be on that Knight of Thunder, who of course won the opening listed race at Doncaster yesterday and beat a couple of good horses to boot. And this filly was, although beaten 8 lengths, did enough to suggest that she could be easily winning a maiden sooner rather than later. And I think this looks a good opportunity for her to get away. She was a bit slowly away, ran a bit green, and she ran on over what looked an inadequate 6 furlongs. She's already proven on the ground, and Willie Haggis has had a good record at Leicester this season. He's won with quite a few nice first-time-out horses and horses had experience. The main danger on form looks as though it might be a non-runner. That's Urban Dreamer. So you've only really got Handwoven and Jazz to think about, who are rated 72 and 83 respectively. I'd imagine this Penny Drops would be well above that standard.
Okay. One that you haven't mentioned really, Andy, is Jazz, who's come close on a few occasions.
Yeah.
Without getting his head in front, what do you make of him?
Well, he's yet to run on really soft ground, which is a little bit concerning. Yeah. Although he's by Daniel Dancer, there's a chance that he might. I backed him a couple of starts ago, funny enough, at Doncaster when he was third behind Bradley in that competitive nursery. Good run again at Kempton last time behind Mushir. Of course, Mushir has advertised that form in the win next time out at York. So collaterally, like, his form's working out all right, but he is what he is. He's not overly big.
Yeah.
He's a hard-knocking type, but I'm not sure whether he's got the quality to beat the filly who's got more upside and more progression.
Yeah, more potential, OK.
Yeah, more potential, yeah.
So you're going with Penny Drops in the 3
yes.
o'clock. Let's move on to the 3:30 next, and this is the Sir Gordon Richards Handicap, which is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs, or the extended mile and 3 furlongs. And we're going to probably have a short-price favourite in this in the shape of Battalion, probably.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is not a selection to tell the listeners to lump on and say, right, you know, fill your boots at 1-2, whatever he'll be. It's more for the future. He's just a horse I really like ever since I saw him when he ran at Chester on debut way back in May. He was green as grass. The ground was too quick for him. But I just loved him. He looked a big, physical, powerful specimen that would only improve as time goes on. He somehow managed to fluff his lines and get beaten at 4-in-a race at Leicester next time out. I mean, that was one of the mysteries of the turf, how he didn't win that day. But his last 2 runs since he's encountered soft ground, he's really come into his own. He strode out really well to win in a fast time at Ripon. And then he hit the ball out of the park on the figures at Yarmouth when winning off a mark of 81. But he beat a good horse in the shape of Thomas Hobson, who couldn't have advertised the form any more spectacularly by winning his last 2 races in really convincing fashion. Won a good handicap yesterday and the time before. Even though, you know, this is his stiffest task to date, for Mark a 99 in a handicap, you'd say, well, you know, he's up nearly a stone for winning that, but there's more to come from this beast, and I don't expect the ground to be any issues for him tomorrow, albeit it probably is a little bit heavier than he would have liked ideally. I think soft ground, good to soft ground, is just about fine. But the opposition look as though they're not probably going to relish the conditions either, and because he's got such a big, powerful frame, I think he'll get through it. It'd be interesting to see what kind of campaign he has next season. If he was to go to the sales, put it this way, he'd make nearly $250,000, maybe more, for a jumping stable. But I don't think he'll go. I don't think he will. I don't think William Haggis will put him at the sales.
No.
But if he was to go privately, and some of the jumping boys wanted him, someone like Rich Ritchie, for interest, for, you know, argument's sake, if he put his hand in his pocket and slapped like anything between $250,000 and $500,000 on the table, that could be very interesting, because he would make a really good juvenile hurdler. But he might just be one of those horses almost like too good to be a juvenile hurdler.
Yeah.
In case anything went wrong, because he looks like a group horse for next season.
Okay. Right. So Battalion in there in the 3:30 at Leicester then. And on to the 4 o'clock, we're going to finish with a 7 furlong claimer. And Ortac Rock has been knocking on the door in claimers of late. Do you think it'll open this afternoon?
Perfect opportunity for him to get off the mark, not to get off the mark. He won at Epsom, didn't he, early on the season. Put behind in the 2 seconds, let's say. I backed him last week at Windsor off the back of a good time on the old weather at Wolverhampton behind Capel Laith. I thought he was a good bet last week and got beat, but Comanche was in good form as well. No disgrace. Kept on well from the back of the field, tried his heart out, went all the way to the line. And obviously loves soft ground. Yards in great nick. He had 3 winners a weekend. Hannigan's on board. Straight 7 furlongs looks ideal. Again, doesn't look the strongest of races. Peak Storm, probably his best form's all at Chepstow.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden Talent ran okay last time out, but that was the first signs of life from him. That was behind Beckhamet at Redcar. You know, ratings-wise, and, you know, again, this should be a very short price. I think if you put him in the third leg of that treble with Battalion and Penny Drops, then that might boost the dividend up a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's have a quick... Well, you just named them, but let's have a quick summary of your thoughts on the three.
Penny Drops, I mean, that should be winning that 3 o'clock. Just hoping the meeting's on, and I hope Battalion runs as well. Connections might have a look at the weather and think, do we don't want to risk him again and heavy? I think he was withdrawn the other day because of the ground change down in Yarmouth. So that might be a slight concern, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him again, Battalion, and whatever happens, I think Ortac Rock will definitely run anyway.
Okay. Good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Monday.
Will do. Cheers, bud.
So there you go. The thoughts of Andy Holding then on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:30 PM. Mick Norton and John Bunnan will be in the studio. We have meetings from Bangor, Leicester and Redcar to look forward to. So 3 meetings. Tune in to Racing Radio for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.